Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing the voice of your Son and for sending us the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth and in peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would open this word, that you would give me words to preach today and all of us ears to hear what you have to say in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is the day of Pentecost, where we commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit promised by our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's recorded in the book of Acts. This is often considered the birth of the church, and it is clearly a new epoch in the unfolding of God's kingdom on earth, which it is, but is also a continuation of a much larger story. When we finally arrive in the city of Jerusalem, 50 days after Jesus' victory over death, we find ourselves in a very poignant, pregnant, full moment in the history of Israel, with much background history, a lot of immediately preceding events, and a heightened expectation of what will soon take place. And there's many directions that, there's much I wanted to say that I cut out. For the sake of brevity, I'm focusing on what I'm going to preach today. But let's take a deeper dive into Pentecost today. We first need to realize that Pentecost is an Old Testament, ancient festival within the Old Covenant in Israel. So Pentecost in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, is known as the Festival of Weeks. It takes place 50 days after the first fruits in Passover, and it's one of three major pilgrimage holidays, along with Passover and the Feast of Booths. And this was one of three that was obligatory for Israel to make pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem to keep this feast. So there were many who would come from far distances to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, or Weeks, and Booths. This holiday, Pentecost, this holiday calendar with Passover and Pentecost parallels the Exodus route timeline. So the people of Israel kept the Passover in Egypt. Then they left Egypt, wandered in the wilderness briefly, arrived at Mount Sinai a month and a half later, about 46 days later. And very soon after that, Moses received the law of God. So roughly 50 days. It's not explicitly stated in Scripture, but the Second Temple rabbis and students of the Scriptures made the connection between Pentecost and Mount Sinai. In the mind of the Jews gathered in Jerusalem today in Acts 2, the Pentecost festival commemorated the giving of the Mosaic Law on Mount Sinai. So to fully appreciate this connection, we need to ask ourselves, what happened on Mount Sinai? What happened there? Looking into the Old Testament, looking at Mount Sinai, what we see is cloud and fire descending onto this high mountain. So when the initial wilderness journey that Israel had landed at the foot of Mount Sinai, at the very beginning of this wandering, the Israelites saw the manifestation of God's presence described as fire, cloud, lightning, thunder, booming and terrifying visions descend on this high mountain. This is what we hear in Exodus 19. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. If you saw this, how would you have responded? Well, unsurprisingly, the people of Israel were terrified. They were terrified at the presence of God. Now, what's fascinating is that in Scripture, throughout the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is described as both fire. You see this in Luke 3, verse 16, that baptism is described as fire. And then the cloud and the transfiguration of our Lord Christ, a bright cloud envelops the disciples. Now, how did the disciples respond to this beaming cloud that enveloped them during this transfiguration experience, they responded with sheer terror. And you would have too. Don't think to yourself, oh, I wouldn't have. No, you would have been petrified and fallen down like the disciples did. So what's fascinating is that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is described as fire and cloud. Now, what also happened at Mount Sinai in addition to fire and cloud on the mountain? Moses ascended the Sinai mountain, entering the cloud of fire and terror, and there he received the law of God, carved on two tablets by God's very own finger. We hear this. He gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on the mountain, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Exodus 31. Students of the New Testament will notice that Jesus himself calls the Holy Spirit the finger of God. In Luke 11, Jesus says, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Elsewhere, he says, "If it's by the Spirit of God." So I want you to notice that. Notice the presence of fire, cloud, glory, the finger of God. The Holy Spirit on Mount Sinai takes a prominent role in this narrative, in this manifestation. When looking back at Mount Sinai, what else do we see? We also see a temple in the heavens on top of this mountain. While on this mountain, Moses himself enters into a heavenly throne room. It's a location not dimensionally here on earth. But on the mountain, Moses is brought into an unseen realm and visibly given the template, the blueprint for God's dwelling place on earth, the tabernacle or the temple. Moses hears from God, "See that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain." So this tabernacle, which is this giant tent for God to reside in, becomes a portable Sinai for God to be manifestly present with his people here on earth, for God to tabernacle among us and be present with us. So, fast forward. When your average Jew heard of the Feast of Weeks, called in Greek Pentecost, meaning 50 days after Passover, this was what was on their mind. It's a giant harvest festival 50 days after Pentecost, remembering, or 50 days after Passover, commemorating the major moment of the Exodus narrative, the receiving of the law on Mount Sinai. This is what's on their mind when they're funneling into Jerusalem in Acts 2 for this giant feast. Something was in the air in Jerusalem. Following Jesus' final words before his ascension, the 11 apostles, with many others of Jesus' disciples, including his mother, the Virgin Mary, were waiting for God's power to fall upon them at an undesignated time. They didn't know when. They knew they were supposed to stay in Jerusalem, and it was coming soon. They're waiting in the upper room. This is what we hear in Acts 1, likely the same one as the Last Supper, described as an upper room. They were in expectant prayer all together. We hear this in Acts 1, verse 14. And this was no small gathering, but I don't know how they all fit in one upper room. 120 people were assembled together there in prayer, all together. And simultaneously, outside, the city of Jerusalem began to fill with Jewish pilgrims from all across the diaspora, not just in the greater country area of Israel, Judea and Samaria or whatnot, but beyond, people from Rome, from Alexandria and Egypt, and from all over coming in for pilgrimage there. And they were seeking to commemorate the Sinai moment when they received the law that gave them their identity as God's people. There remained amongst everyone outside a high messianic expectation in Israel. See, many didn't know. They didn't yet realize they had been visited by their king, the Messiah, Jesus. They were unaware yet, so they still had this expectation. For the disciples and many in Jerusalem, there was this air of expectation, of anticipation. Something was about to happen. Enter Acts 2. Enter the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost finally arrives. God, the Holy Spirit, comes onto the scene as a loud whirlwind dividing into blazing tongues of fire, descending onto all the gathered disciples. What takes place here can only be described as a new Sinai moment. We see thunder and fire and cloud in this one moment. On Pentecost, we see the powerful and terrifying manifestation of the Holy Spirit again, as on Sinai. But this time, God takes residence, tabernacles, within his people. This is what we see in Acts 2. Then the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, how it would have been, what it would have been like to have seen that. We see thunder, fire, cloud on Pentecost in that upper room. And we see here that this is a new Sinai moment. This is the moment that God, the Holy Spirit, carved the law into the very hearts of the people of God. The law is now written on the people's hearts. The Holy Spirit, the very finger of God that carved the two tablets on Sinai, took up residence in all the disciples in that moment, carving the tablets of the law onto the hearts of his people. This is in fulfillment of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Jeremiah 31, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This fulfills the new covenant promise, where God's people are now obedient to God's ways from the heart. Romans 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death. This is a new law, the law of Christ that's given on the day of Pentecost. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is the same Spirit given at Pentecost. This is a new giving of the law where God renovates our hearts towards loving obedience. And then finally, what we see here is the formation of the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church, as the place where God's Spirit takes up residence with his people. So again, the true heavenly temple had been seen visibly by Moses on Mount Sinai, and it was replicated, a replica was made on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. This is what we call the temple. And it's just really an imitation of what's actually taking place in heaven. But now on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven, beginning to shape us into his holy temple on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? And that's to you, Christ Church, to you sitting here. Do you not know that you are God's temple, the Holy Spirit taking up residence, God's very presence within you? A few days ago at the Ascension, we commemorated Jesus in his ascension into the heavenly sanctuary through cloud and fire. He ascends, disappears into a cloud, a glory cloud, and is in the heavenly temple. That's what happens in ascension. It's not just a convenient excuse for why Jesus is not on earth. Something incredibly significant happens there. And then at Pentecost, the cloud and fire descend onto us, into us, forming us into the spiritual temple on earth. We ascend with Christ into the heavenly sanctuary, the true temple where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then Christ dwells in us, making us collectively into the sanctuary on earth. All this by the Holy Spirit, who gives us a foretaste of the union of heaven and earth. Think on this. We are built by the Spirit after the pattern that Moses saw on the mountain. Pentecost fulfills the Lord's prayer, making God's kingdom manifest on earth as it is in heaven. But it's already and not yet. We're in this in-between stage. God's kingdom has broken in, but it's not fully consummated. We today are still waiting for God's kingdom to be fully consummated, fully here on earth, for the full number of Christ's followers to be brought in, for the world to be truly restored as Jesus' body had been in the resurrection and is now in the resurrection. Though not yet reaching the perfection, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit provides a foretaste of things to be. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. For we know, 2 Corinthians 5, that if the tent or tabernacle, that is our earthly home or house, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. If we, temples of the Holy Spirit, decay, fall apart, die, which we all will, we have a place of residence in heaven, the true temple, which we get a foretaste of here and now. The Holy Spirit gives us a glimpse of the final state, that union of heaven and earth, and allows us to feast on that heavenly banquet here and now at this table today. Here today, by the Holy Spirit, we feast in the house of Zion, singing with our hearts restored, feasting and weeping no more. Listen to St. John in Revelation. This Pentecostal vision in Revelation 21, verse 10. John says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Let God, who tabernacles within us by his Spirit, carry us to that high mountain and give us a foretaste of that final state here at this table today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen.